morning not to have to preach this morning. I've got someone else in here this morning, and it's somebody I respect greatly. You've already, if you were here in Sunday school, had the opportunity to meet Pastor Dave and Nancy Kennedy. They, years ago, were my youth pastor when I was at Market Manor. And they were there. My sister was able to go through the ministry there when they were there, and then myself. And we learned what it was to be called to go somewhere, because my junior year of high school, the Kennedys left being the youth pastor there at Market Manor to go to Nova Scotia and to go to the Maritimes in Canada. And it made an impression on us that, you know, somebody was willing to go do this and had something that was seemed to be settled, but yet had been burdened with missions trips that he had taken teens on for a number of years to go to the mission field himself. And so he did that for a number of years, and then came back and was the pastor at Market Manor and guided them through some pretty tough waters there, and then is now with Baptist World Missions and is a representative, but it's not the field representative, though it's technically that. Yeah, their support in getting missionaries started on their way, and deputation, and all of those details that trying to get missionaries to the mission field, and they help with that and prepping them and giving them advice and encouragement and doing that. And so they're down with Baptist World as part of their support staff that's there for the many missionaries that are on the mission field, but a very needed ministry to get these missionaries on the field. And so we're thankful for their continued ministry, and it's our opportunity to have Pastor Kennedy here this morning. So come on up.
A little of this greeting in the Sunday school hour, but so bear with me if some of it's a little repeated, but very, very grateful for the fellowship we've enjoyed with this ministry over the years. And many of you that I see here know from the Chicagoland ministry and had some fellowship over that already this morning. I praise the Lord for faithfulness in ministry, God's work continuing. What a blessing it is for Nancy and I to see Keith and his life, and how he and Tammy had come together and been serving the Lord faithfully. And now the Lord's called them here to pastor. That means much. As you get on in ministry, you look back over the years that you served. And, you know, you'd like to think when you're young, especially, you're doing something important. It doesn't take too long to realize that while it's important what you're trying to do, you don't do any of it. God does it all, and it's a blessing to be along for the ride, that he would choose any one of us to serve and then do something that you can observe him doing is a thrill. But a lot of that has to do with those that God has worked in their hearts, seen them saved and growing, and then serving wherever and in however the Lord would have them do that. We rejoice in all the Lord did in the youth years. We rejoice what he did and the missionary years on the field. There's some exciting things there. And then even coming back to Marquette, the way he blessed and helped in those years. And now it's hard to believe, but 12 years we've been serving in this capacity as deputation director and a field administrator for Baptist World Mission. We love working with missionaries. It's a thrill to do that. If you can imagine, you're getting to work constantly with people that have come to a place of surrender. And they're yielding to the Lord and giving up whatever was behind and going on to serve him. And so we get to help them along the way in getting to the field. I mentioned to the men that in spite of COVID, this last year has really been a thrilling year. It's what you'd think to be a bad year in missions, slowing everything down. And yet, while there was a little bit of a slowdown in mid of 2020, it's turned that the Lord has turned this around and made it quite a fruitful time. We've seen this year four couples complete deputation and leave for the field already. There's two other couples and one single young man. We hope that either by the end of the year, one couple we know is going to be in January because she's going to finish her pregnancy here, got a high-risk pregnancy, and then, Lord willing, late in January, head to the field. And so for that many to complete deputation, that means they're raising their support. They're getting everything done and are headed to the field. And so we rejoice in what the Lord's doing there and the blessing just to serve him. Part of the blessing is to represent the mission and represent our Lord in churches and in Christian colleges. And we're always looking for who else the Lord is working in their heart about missions. And perhaps God's been dealing with you, and maybe you've talked to some others. Maybe no one else knows this yet, but God has been at work in your heart. And if we could be of any encouragement and help to you along the way, we'd love to talk with you afterwards today. There's a table in the foyer and some brochures, and a messenger is there, a couple of those issues, and you feel free to take any of those, and hopefully that can be a blessing to you. The sign-up sheet, if you'd like to get the messenger sent to you at your email address, we'd be happy to do that. Now, let me ask you this morning, please, to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And I'd like to focus this morning on verses 27 to 30. We will end up taking a cursory look over this chapter, and we'll skim it in a way to notice a theme that we see throughout this chapter that is then culminated a bit in these last several verses. But let's read verses 27 to 30 as we begin this morning. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversary, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. This is an amazing book, amazing passage. It's a book, a letter that was written to a very dear church, to Paul. He looked back at this time. He was now in prison, as you're aware. He had gone on the second missionary journey, seeking where would God want us to be? And they headed in one direction, and the Lord closed the door and closed the door again and closed the door again. And it probably wasn't making a lot of sense. But finally, as they got earnest in prayer, they ended up being led of the Lord in that Macedonian call to Philippi. And there in Philippi, the Lord directed them by the river. They found Lydia. They preached the gospel. She and her household got saved. Wasn't long in preaching the gospel. Because he was preaching the gospel, he landed in prison. And there the Philippian jailer trusted Christ as his Savior. And God did some miraculous things. He and his household ended up getting saved. And out of that miraculous work that God did, this wonderful church in Philippi was established. And you know, they came to be to him one of those most faithful supporting churches that he had, though he was sent out of Antioch. Later in the years, it seemed that Philippi was the key one that supported and encouraged him along the way. And he's writing back to this dear church. And as you work your way through the beginning of this chapter, you find there's an interesting theme that comes again and again. And let's take a moment and look at that. Beginning at verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, speaking to these dear believers in Philippi, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. And we're going to begin to see this theme of in the gospel, in the gospel, in the gospel. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here he's talking about the wonderful fellowship that he remembered and enjoyed and was supported and blessed by because they shared together with him in this effort to deliver the gospel. Well, let's continue. Verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, when's the day of Jesus Christ he's speaking of here? Till that day that he comes in the clouds and he's going to rapture us out of here. And he's confident that until that day comes, the Lord is going to continue the work that he's begun in you. And that means he's going to continue the work that he's begun in us. In spite of whatever's going on in this world today, and whatever would seem to shake things, we need to remember and we need to be confident, as Paul was, that the Lord is going to continue the work which he's begun in us until he comes again. But continue. He says, even as it is meet or fitting for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. So here we see the gospel mentioned again. Here it's having to do with the confirmation of the gospel, taking that which has been preached and confirming it, solidifying it in the understanding of those that need to trust Christ, confirming it in the hearts of those that have trusted him, that they understand it well. It was all about the gospel. And then skip down to verse 12. And he says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And so here we see the gospel theme all over again. Now, what is he saying here in verse 12? He's writing to them from prison. They know he's in prison. Imagine what they'd be thinking of him. Earlier this year, we got several reports of preachers in Canada put in prison. Why? Because they were determined to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to gather the church together. And it was in opposition. And there's an amazing things that are happening all around this world today. And I would submit to you that a lot of it ultimately has to do with an opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there were several preachers in Canada, of all places. And we lived there for 10 years. We love that place. And we view it as a great ally of ours. But I mean, to tell you, there's opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's opposition to truth. There's opposition to righteousness that's going on there as we see it even here. But he finds himself in prison. But he's writing to those that love him and he loves, and he wants their hearts to be encouraged. And the big encouragement that he brings to them is this: don't worry about what's happened to me. Yeah, it wasn't fun to be thrown in prison. I don't fully understand it, but I want you to know this, that I've already seen that being in prison has turned out to be for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's found a way, even in this unpleasant circumstance, that the gospel would go forward even further. And so that theme continues. Well, then let's get down to verse 17. And the other of love. He's talking about how some, him being in prison has caused people to get stirred up about preaching the gospel. So others are preaching it who have a little more freedom right now. And he says some of them are doing it out of a wrong attitude, which is hard to imagine, but even preachers are in the flesh sometimes. And maybe they had something against Paul and we're going to show him or who knows what. But Paul says, praise the Lord, the gospel's getting preached. And there were others that did it of a good spirit. And praise the Lord all the more for that. But he says, but the other out of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And there was something about him being in prison for the sake of preaching the gospel that caused some others that had a sincere heart of love for the Lord to be bolstered in their heart, because they knew that Paul was committed to the defense of the gospel, to staying true to the gospel, even if it meant being in prison. One of the dear brothers that first was arrested up in Canada, in Alberta, they put him in some of the most suffering conditions, and he was over 30 days in prison. Told him he could get out if he just promised that he wouldn't gather his people to church. He couldn't promise that. They put him in solitary confinement for many, many days. And word begins to get out about this. And you know what it did in my soul? when I heard, and perhaps you when you heard about it. Well, praise the Lord for this brother that is standing for truth, standing for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's going to obey the Lord even in the midst of pressure from governmental authorities. You know, there's a lot of things we got to be careful to obey government about. That's being a good citizen. But when it comes to the matter of declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, Scripture makes it very clear, as Paul said, we ought better obey God rather than man. And let's keep our obedience to the Lord above government when it comes to clear declarations of Scripture. But when it comes to saying you're going to be silenced about preaching the gospel, wait a minute. I've got to preach the gospel whether somebody tells me I can't preach it or not. Have you recognized yet in our society today that there's great opposition to simple biblical truths? And we don't need to go down through the list. It would take forever. But I think we've all seen it. And what I think it's important that we recognize in the day in which we're living is that we're coming into a day when I think it's going to get worse rather than better. I don't mean to be a doomsayer here. But the reality is understanding Scripture and understanding human nature and understanding history, there is pressure coming upon believers of Jesus Christ to no longer declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, no longer declare the truths. There's some things that are sinful that are glorified, and there's some things that are glorious in God's sight that are condemned and wicked by this world's standard. And what are we going to do when that day comes? So back to my point here, when his brother in Canada was going through that, my prayer began to be, Lord, I'd like to think that I would stand and do right if I were in that same spot. I praise the Lord for this brother that's standing. Help him. And Lord, help me. Strengthen me. And folk, I think we're in a day when we need to realize that no matter what's coming, God's got a purpose in it. And it's all centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's not long before our Lord is going to be coming again. And the goal ought to be, yes, we love our country, but this isn't my home. I'm passing through this place. Yes, I ought to be a good citizen, but this isn't my final home. My citizenship is in heaven. And so let's remember to do everything in a way that would honor our Lord and further the gospel. Paul was committed to the defense of the gospel. Then let's skip over to verse 25. And it says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. And he's speaking here about the faith, really, of the gospel. But then we come to our beginning of our text to consider this morning. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as becometh, as is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the end of that very one, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So, wow, again and again, we're seeing this theme of the gospel, but standing for the gospel. Interesting chatting with some this morning and realizing the history. Time is getting on. How many years ago we'd met and how long this church has been here, and many of you have been serving the Lord. But it's a blessing to look back in history and see what God has done. You realize that this year, this fall, this month, on the 21st of this month, it will be 60 years since Baptist World Mission was established. One of the pleasures and blessings I had in pastoring at Marquette was the reality that one of the key meetings that took place in September of 1961 took place at Marquette Manor Baptist Church down in the city. And that church has a key background in the history of Baptist world, but Dr. Monroe Parker up at Pillsbury at the time, they had seen God work an amazing revival on that campus. Now that campus doesn't exist anymore. But there was a day when God was doing a work up in Minnesota at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College under the ministry of Dr. Monroe Parker leading it. And there were some 100 of the college students that yielded to go into missions. And he began to get burdened after that about the fact that we needed a independent fundamental Baptist mission agency. They were going through struggles of compromise back in that day, as sometimes it's happened down through history and continues to happen today. But Dr. Monroe Parker made the statement, if somebody's going to organize a premillennial conservative Baptist mission society, I wish you'd hurry up and do it. And very often, as somebody gets burdened about something, they end up being the one that God's calling to do it. And so, long story short, he ended up being a big part of the establishment of that. And then they asked him to be the first director of Baptist World Mission. And he served for some 40 years, if I remember correctly. Praise the Lord for his leadership and what the Lord had done. Basically, during that time, he was saying this: now is the time to do something about this. Could I suggest that now is the time for believers in this generation? I've observed over the years, it seems as though God brings history around. And each new generation has an opportunity to take a stand and has an opportunity to serve our Lord, has an opportunity to prove our Lord. These are unique times that we're in, my dear brethren. And I would suggest now is the time for this generation. And if you're alive, you're part of this generation, so don't count yourself out if you think you're one of the senior saints. It's your generation as much as it is mine and as much as the younger ones. Now's the time for us to step up and prove our Lord and be faithful to Him. And it all has to do with the gospel. What are we going to do with the gospel? Why is now the time? Well, could I suggest now's the time because now's the time of salvation? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We don't know what a day brings. We don't know if we've got tomorrow. We don't know if a loved one we're praying for has got tomorrow. And today, God will lay before us opportunities to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is the day of salvation. So now is the time that we ought to be declaring the gospel for this sake. Now is the time of harvest. Jesus said in his day, lift up your eyes unto the fields, for they, the fields, are white already unto harvest. We don't often see things that way. We look up and see certain things. We might even look at the same field and we're not thinking, we're not noticing how white it is. We might look at how beautiful it is and not thinking about the harvest time. But the Lord looks with spiritual eyes, and we need to look at spiritual eyes. And sometimes we look at the field and we see the hardened hearts. We see the wicked hearts. We see the sinful nation we're in. But we need to look at people and realize now is the time. If the Lord is coming soon, the time is very short for many people to ever hear the gospel and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now is the time. The harvest is plenteous, but what? The laborers are few. The problem is there's a great need for more laborers, and you and I are the ones He's looking for this. Now's the time of choosing. Remember how the children of Israel, as they had gone out of Egypt and they began to wander, could have been about a 40-day journey before they headed into the promised land, but when they got ready to go in, they got a little fearful about what they saw or thought they saw. They decided to send in the 12 spies. And you remember how learned in Sunday school, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And they went in and they spied it out, like, whoa, this is a beautiful land. But the woe was a little bit bigger when they thought about the giants that were there. And they came back and brought 2 different reports. They agreed with one another, but a different motivation behind them. The one group says that, wow, yeah, the land is just as plenteous as God said, but there's giants in that land. We can't go in and do this. But Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute. Our God is able. He's promised us all these things. Yes, there's giants, but our God's greater than all that. And we need to head in and there was a time for choosing. And at that time, they chose wrong, and a later generation came along. You know, I've lived long enough to watch some grow up and say, yeah, your generation got it all wrong. You know, I'd like to think we didn't get it all wrong. I'd like to think we got it all right, but I know we didn't get it all right either. I know that there's efforts made to honor the Lord that somehow the flesh got in the way. And yes, it's true that we've probably blown it here and there. But my dear friends, it's time. It's time for us to choose. It's time for us to choose to honor the Lord. And I think each new generation will find, as much as we'd like to do it the right way, we'll probably stumble too, even like those we sometimes criticize that went before us. But let's step up and choose to serve the Lord. Now's the time because of the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming soon. He says he's going to come as a thief in the night. Our blessed hope, my dear friends, is that we would see the Lord coming in the clouds. Hope's an important thing. In spite of all the trials, all the difficulties, don't ever lose hope. Hope that things will get better. Hope that things could get better. But our hope is not in man. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our hope is that He's coming. But now's the time because the Lord is coming. And now's the time because we're commanded to redeem the time. We only have today. And how are we going to use it for the Lord? If the Lord would tarry even a little while longer, wouldn't you like to use the rest of your days to serve Him and know you've spent your time well? Now is the time. But what is it time for us to do? Well, let's go back to our text this morning in verse 27. Paul writes and he says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We see here that one of the things that it's important for us to do right now is to stand. And this word stand, as I understand it, is a word that has to do with remaining stationary, standing for the sake of preserving something. We find in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "Stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle," in Philippians 4:1. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8, "For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 16:13, Pastor read to us this morning, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." There are times when we'd like to go be active and do one thing or another, but the reality is we need to just stand fast. We need to stay put. We need to preserve. It's not so much of correcting and changing as much as it is don't give up, don't lose what you've been taught, but hold fast to that. And he was burdened that they would stand fast. He was hoping to get out of prison. He was hoping to get to come see them. He was wrestling with whether to just go to heaven. Maybe they'll kill me in prison. I'll go to be with the Lord. How good would that be? But wait a minute. If I'm gone, I won't be here to be able to encourage my brethren. And if God wants me here to suffer a little bit more, if God wants me here and miss that blessing for a little while, there's a good purpose for me being here. And so he was betwixt and between. And he said, "I don't know if I'm going to get to come see you or if I'll just remain absent. But whether I see you in person or whether I get a report from a messenger, let it be that I'm hearing that you're standing." Let us be ones that give encouragement to brethren around the world to stand fast for the gospel of Jesus Christ in these days and to be zealous about that. Galatians 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free." You know, one of the interesting things that's happened in these days is this critical race theory and CRT that they're talking about. And we don't have time to deal with that greatly. But one of the things I've noticed is I've tried to get my mind wrapped around it all. It really ends up being a works-based salvation. a performance-based issue. It's as if the carrot is put out before, if you'll just do this, we'll accept you. If you just do this, we'll accept you. And you're trying to reach that carrot so that you won't be considered racist. And so that you'll be on the inside. But no matter what you do, that carrot's just a little too far to reach, and it can lead you along a path that in reality, it's the social gospel repackaged. It's a works-based salvation. And we need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. We're to stand fast in truth. What does the Word of God have to say? Realize the very foundations of the Bible and the book of Genesis are so under attack today. Creation's been under attack for a long time. And we grew up in a generation where it was just taboo to even think about creation. And yet we've believed and trusted in that. And more it seems like society is beginning, parts of society accepting that. But oh, they're fighting awfully hard to tear down the whole idea of creation. I remember years ago thinking the whole concept of homosexuality, that's one thing that'll never, I mean, that's just so obvious it seemed, that will never be thought of differently. Yet in reality, that's glorified today. We've seen it changing and taking place. And something even more foundational in the last few years has left our minds spinning is the whole idea about gender. Somebody that's a woman wants to pretend she's a man and even go to all kinds of different things to make it seem so. Or a man that wants to pretend he's a woman so that he can win a sporting event finally, or whatever the purpose of it is. All the foundational things that we learn of truth and the Word of God are under attack today. Stand fast in the truth, Ephesians 6. Stand fast in the evil day. You know, there's always been an evil day in this world. But if ever we've been in an evil day, where evil is running rampant and it seems to be an authority and it's wanting to push and force ways of thinking and ways of living on society and ultimately to stifle the church and to stifle believers that proclaim that gospel that they hate. Stand fast, even in the evil day. Stand fast against sin. Stand fast against compromise. This is a time to stand fast in the gospel. But there's something else mentioned here, and that is to strive. It's time for us to stand, and it's time for us to strive. Now, this is not talking about strife between people. We do that naturally. We don't even have to be told to do it. In fact, we got to be commanded to not have strife between us. But that's not what this is talking about. Striving here is the idea of to wrestle in company with. It's to seek after jointly, to labor together after a particular cause. And what is that cause? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to do something together, you know how it helps when you've got somebody to do the work with? Some of the most exciting days of our ministry lives were when God was winning souls and a church was being established up in Nova Scotia and in New Brunswick. And we had an opportunity to clear land and build a church building. And all those were exciting days. But it took the whole church coming together. It took everybody doing their part. And everybody is doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But there was a laboring together. Now, it might be laboring to build a building, and that can seem exciting because you're seeing all kinds of things happen. But the bigger thing is when we would labor together for the sake of the gospel, giving out the gospel, encouraging one another in it. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek." And isn't it amazing the strife that's trying to be created in society? What's the one thing that would ever unify people together properly? It's when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ together and in the church, and a church that's walking with God, there ought to be unity amongst the believers. But the gospel of Jesus Christ accomplishes all of this, and it's so crucial. We need to be striving for the gospel and striving for the faith of the gospel. Jude speaks about earnestly contending for the faith once delivered. And so there's a need to be striving for all the body of truth in the Word of God, not just the gospel itself. But then there's a fourth thing that it's time for us to be doing, and that is to be seeking. And you say, well, where's that? I see the standing and I see the striving. Well, I'm getting seeking out of one of the secondary definitions of striving. The definition for striving is wrestling together in company with someone, joining them in that struggle, but it's also seeking jointly. Today's the day, now's the time to be seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seeking God's face in revival. Oh, there's a lot of talk going on these days about what could be done differently politically to help save our country. My friends, I think the only thing that's going to save our country is if God in His grace would send an awakening and a revival that would bring across this country a new understanding that God is alive and that God is a righteous God and that we're going to answer before Him and that He sent His Son to die for us and there's hope for us in spite of the conviction that we feel about our sin. If this country would be blessed with a Holy Spirit sent revival, oh, it'd be the grace and mercy of God that would ever happen, but it would also be to the glory of God, and might it please Him to do so. But we ought to be seeking His face toward that. We ought to be going to Him in prayer, and the, what means more to us than anything is that God would be glorified, the kingdom of God would be glorified, and that God's face would be seen. We ought to seek the Lord while He may be found, we find in Isaiah chapter 55. I'd like to notice something else that we see it's time for. And we find it down in verse 29. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You say, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't know I was signing up for that when I got saved. No, I don't know that I ever heard it brought about as part of the gospel either. But as we come to know the Lord, we begin to realize there is an epic battle that has gone on since the beginning of time. Satan against God. And if we come to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we learn, whoa, there is an enemy. And we have seen the impact of that in various ways in our lives. But if we're going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we learn that it was also given to us to suffer for Him. The servant's not any better than his master. If our master suffered the way he did for the sake of our souls being saved, are we better than he that we would think that we wouldn't need to at some point suffer for His name's sake? And if our Savior suffered, we ought to recognize and be willing for His own name's sake. Recently had one of our missionaries over in Cameroon, had a neighbor. They'd just gotten back to the field after all the different things, and a neighbor across the street came over, and they didn't quite have the languages here in this. They weren't even quite sure what this guy was speaking. But he smiled and smiled and walked and right past the missionary over to his wife and slapped her. And when that happened, he said he was on that guy in short order. That's his wife. He grabbed a hold of that guy by the collar and escorted him off the property. And it wasn't long the police came and dealt with him, and he was under some kind of, I don't know, quarantine is not the right word, but house arrest or whatever, protecting her. But my point is, that was his wife. And he stepped in. He probably wishes he'd have discerned the situation quicker and stepped in before it ever happened. But once it did happen, he's getting in the way. It doesn't matter what's going to happen to him. He's going to protect his wife. My friends, ought it be that when we see our Savior and the gospel thwarted and denied and mocked, and sin glorified, ought it not be that we're willing to stand up and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ? To stand and honor Him. But to stand too, under realizing this in reality is the only hope. You realize that at all the trouble, everybody's trying to figure out how to solve the problems of this day. And I don't know how it's going to shake out, but I can tell you we are blessed as believers because the one solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. And the burden on my heart, dear friends, these days is that we as a church would stand and be faithful with the gospel of Jesus Christ and even allow these times of suffering, these times of challenge to motivate our hearts to do all the more for Him. We know the stories of Nate Saint and Jim Elliott, generation gone by, that we're willing to suffer, we're willing to do whatever for the sake of taking the gospel. And you know how the five were killed, and amazing story how they were willing, knowing the risks, to go in to that area and to bring the plane down in a spot where are they going to be able to get the plane back out and what's it going to be like? And then the fateful day when they were killed. Do you know, as amazing as that is to me, the heroism that they showed spiritually, to me it's even more amazing what Elizabeth Elliot and one of the other wives did when they, after that all happened, they went in and lived amongst those that killed their husbands. Took a little daughter. And lived there for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God did an amazing work amongst that tribe because it was all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were lives that were given to proclaim it. Now, God's not going to call us all to a foreign field, but there may be some here God's going to call. And the time is short. Wouldn't you like to use your life for the Lord until He comes? It may be the Lord's going to have you right here and you could be supporting missions. It may be the Lord would have you right here, but you've got a field all around you where the gospel needs to be heard. And might the Lord encourage and help us to stand for Him. Praise the Lord that Joshua stood. Back when Nancy and I got married, Joshua 23 or 24, 15, I'm mixed up. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Several times we found that in some early decorations of our house, and we wanted that to honor the Lord. But you know, Joshua, there was a day he was young and he stood. But when he got to the end of his day, he declared to God's people, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to continue to serve the Lord." I know that's the heart of many that are here this morning. But friends, could I encourage you that we not be discouraged by this day we're in? We not be overwhelmed with fears? We not be overwhelmed with what's going on? But instead that we just stay busy. In fact, get reinvigorated about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just speak up and start talking to people about the Lord. They need the hope. Fear reigns right now in our country, and the hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give them that hope, and let's stand and strive for the faith of the gospel. Now is the time. May God help us to that end. Let's pray together as we close this morning. Father, thank you for the blessing of being in your house today with your people. Thank you for the blessing to declare your word. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us, the love that he showed on Calvary's cross, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and that he offered to us freely life in him. And Lord, I pray that in the day that you've caused us to live and in the challenges that lie before us, that we would not be in fear, we would not cower, we would not hesitate, but what focus on the gospel is needed. Lord, I pray we'd rise to that occasion. And Lord, if it's just to suffer and soon be with you, let it be. But Lord, if it please you to send revival to this nation, to this community, to this church, send an awakening to this country, Lord, I pray that somehow you might use us to that end because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.